Maybe today I'll lose my mind.
The Ocelli Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Ocelli.
Take number 2, May 24, 2022. Allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, this is the show you were looking for. Guess how I know that? Because you're hearing me say this. Anyway, Tuesday, that is, the second broadcast day of the Ocelli Effect this week. I'm all kinds of thrown off. What the hell? Actually, this is my second run at opening my show. Why not? In the second hour, at some point, we'll have Christy Aphrodite with us. We'll talk about natural solutions, and maybe I'll just shut the hell up because I'm exhausted. Anyway, it is Tuesday, as I said. There are things to cover in the news, obviously. What is up front? Well, right now we got a high-level, high-casualty event there. School shooting once again, this time in Texas. More guns in Texas than anywhere else. Funny thing. Got to be some good guys with guns. Nobody stopped this. Now, will this be counted as a false flag among the conspiracy theorists? I doubt it. Why do I say that? Because thus far, in best information anyway, according to some local media sources on the ground, like CBS Austin, the shooter's an 18-year-old kid, and his name was Salvador Ramos. Bet you they're going to believe that violence near the border in Texas came from this guy. Who, by the way, the picture that they posted immediately on Twitter and all that good stuff, you know, the usual debates. Somebody at the top of the list I'm looking at says he didn't deserve to go out that way. Oh, by the way, killed by law enforcement at the scene, as per usual. Unless the suspect is white. Anyways, the death toll from the shooting at Robb Elementary has risen to 18 and 3. That's 18 children and 3 adults, according to State Senator Roland Gutierrez, who made that statement on CNN earlier. Who said, quote, "It's very tragic, as you could imagine," and Gutierrez, a Democrat. The 18-year-old shooter first shot his grandmother, and then he fled. Got into a car wreck near the elementary school, ran into the school. And, Gutierrez said the grandmother was, quote, "still holding on," and had to be airlifted to San Antonio for treatment. A lot of people went to different hospitals. I'm sure a lot of people are just going to claim false flag and all that good stuff. But I don't know. Looks to me like could be a legitimate event so far. Now, it is the early days, and early reporting and mainstream reporting, you know what they're going to do right away is start to split it off into your proper political camps. No matter what it is you do or say, that's the way it's going to go. Anyway, on a Tuesday, is this all I want to talk about? Not at all. I did also get another hit from YouTube. I am now not able to upload to YouTube, so nobody's shows are going there for 7 to 10 days. Another strike. This time, I'm sure it was somebody digging into my account and checking out the fact that I had debated or even questioned the grand COVID narrative. You can't do that. That's misinformation. Months later, my mild discussions on the topic are getting me kicked off of there once again. So another strike, this time for medical misinformation. And this show won't be on YouTube, and it doesn't matter, you know, to me directly, because I don't get monetized. But I'm wondering what the next platform to threaten or boot me from is. And funny thing, you don't get booted for a lot of other stuff you might say that could be a little crazy. But don't challenge the paradigm, especially when they're getting us ready for monkeypox. Which, oh, by the way, yeah, I did mention that well in advance. You could call in, change the subject, change my mind, change my mood, maybe. let's see if you can, right? 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. I have the lines open. I got thunderstorms outside. I still got the 5 dogs and the hyper child in the other part of the house, so who knows if I'll be interrupted by that. Booms of thunder or maybe lightning will strike my place again. Why not? At this point, wouldn't be surprised at all. anyway, are you having trouble getting the supplies you need? Are you having trouble making electronic transactions work? Yeah. You know, I really wanted to buy a bottle of Jack Daniels this week. I was going to. I thought about it, and I got a nice donation from a friend I didn't expect, and I was thinking maybe I could afford a bottle of Jack Daniels, and really, really quickly, I can't. So, yeah, that's the end of that. But I could certainly use it. So, anyway, if you got one collecting dust laying around your house because you don't want to drink it, hey, by all means, I'll give you my address, and you can figure out a way to mail it to me, even though technically you're not supposed to. But what the hell? People mail things all the time they're not supposed to. I guess it's taking a risk, considering that we still got Trump's idiot in there at the post office. And by the way, I don't know, all kinds of things are getting lost in the mail and taking forever. And who wants to hear about that, right? It's not part of the real world. And besides, as I said, you got, last reports that I read, and who knows, maybe it's been updated once again. They started out with something like 13 kids that were shot at the elementary school and one adult. Now it's, according to this thing, 3 and possibly 18. But, you know, these things will all be revised as we go forward. So, is what it is. Anyway, 319-527-5016. And perhaps this first caller could indeed change my mood. And looks like we got Jimmy James on the line. And come on, Jimmy James, you want to yell at me too? Let's go. What's up?
What am I supposed to change your mind on?
I don't know, but right now you sound like Darth Vader. I'm worried. What's going on, brother?
I do.
Yeah, does anybody else hear? I hope that I'm not the only one hearing this, because if I am, then I finally snapped. You have a very electronic sound in your voice right now. It's very very Android-like, and so I don't know what it is, but cool. I like it. Go for it, man. What's on your mind? Did I chase Jimmy James away? Holy crap. Okay, he's off the line. Yeah, that figures. Anyway, anybody can call in. 319-527-5016. Why not? Wait, shall I go back to my train of thought? Sure. Let's do that. So what else has been in the news? Like I said, monkeypox. Sure, that's happening. I was taking note of some other things going on in the various streams earlier. I was trying to look at and starting to actually record pieces of the latest budget proposal from the Pentagon. Let's see, Defense Secretary Austin was up on the Hill and testifying about that earlier. But, you know, in the midst of doing that, I heard a whole bunch of other nonsense happening. So I switched away from it and stopped recording the statements of Secretary Austin, which I was going to play on the show. But what the hell, why bother? And, and today I also recorded with Bob Wilson earlier in the day, and Maria Heller did Hell in High Water before the school shooting happened, so we didn't wind up talking about that one. We talked about Buffalo, but not that one. Missed out because it happened a little later in the day. Bob Wilson, a lot of gunplay in my discussions lately. I wonder if that's something. Probably not, just a pattern. So Bob interviewed one of the guys that was shot by, at that time, the .44 caliber killer, who had not yet been dubbed the Son of Sam and survived. He did that from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern today, and I produced that show. It's not out on podcast yet. I did get out yesterday's podcast, though, which had an extended discussion with Terry Tapp, and also a call-in segment sort of like this. Oh, I think Jimmy James may have returned. Is that you, Jimmy, or did I, like, piss you off by calling you Darth Vader? What's up?
No, does this sound better now?
Yeah, mild. It's a very mild robot. It's something in our connection. It's probably my fault. Everything is. it's well, okay.
Do you still hear it? You can still hear some kind of thing going on?
A little bit, but it's okay. I understand you. Go ahead. Speak your mind, whatever's on your mind, brother. It doesn't matter. Even if you do fully go into the Force, you know, you go with that, I'll be cool with it. It's all right. Go ahead.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
You know what's funny? That was the line I was trying to think of, but I'm such a scatterbrain at the moment, I couldn't recall it. Thank you. Excellent. Go ahead.
I got some kids got shot up by another kid again.
Yeah, this one's really, I bet you this one is going to be total ultra-violence. Nobody's got a good rhyme or reason for it, because when I was looking at the helicopter footage, I noticed that there was a truck which was, like, stuck in an awkward position, you know, in one of those little, like, drain aqueducts that you see in the south, which, by the way, don't all exist in the north, because most of that stuff is built differently in the north. But you notice all around the south, there's anything from crude ditches to these, like, cement aqueducts, especially around places like schools and stuff like that, that drain off water. Anyway, a pickup truck totally looks like somebody crashed it into the, what, I don't even know what they call those things. But anyway, B. Pete was here, he'd tell me. Crashed it into that cement thing that drains off water. And I saw that, and nobody was commenting on it. But later in the story, as it came out, the kid shot his grandmother, ran out with a couple of guns, I guess, got in a car, and crashed and ran into the... It's going to be totally random. I think it's going to be a completely random incident that he hit that elementary school, that he just went out crazy. And I don't think anybody's going to call it a false flag. Really don't. I mean, some extreme people, you know, no matter what happens, everything's fake, you know. Some people will do that, but I think they're not going to call this one of those intentionally constructed false flags, because they're going to have a hard time explaining why a liberal would use a, what's the liberal term now, Latinx person for a false flag. It wouldn't make any sense. No, it's just a random act of insane violence, which is uniquely at a higher level in America than other places. And I think that's what happened. And,
I don't know about that.
What?
I mean, everyone says that here, but I know for a fact, for instance, Great Britain has a lot higher rate of physical assault and battery.
Well, we don't... Okay, assault and battery, you think so, but not the murder rate. Murder rate, as far as civilian murders, forget it. We're it. We kill each other quicker.
Comparable. Did you know that knives kill more people a year than guns?
Yeah, sure. Sure. But the percentage of the world's population that we have, and the percentage of the amount of murder on the planet that we have... Yeah, I know some people would say they just don't enforce it other places. I don't know. Look, I watch people go back and forth on this, but, you know, per capita...
It's like Eisenhower said after Kennedy was shot. Look, we live in a free country. You know, how can we stop... If someone's intent on killing someone, our country is... We live in a free society. If someone's insane and they're... bent on getting someone, they're probably going to get them.
Okay, that's fair enough. But here's an indisputable one, and that is that as far as school shootings go, like kids getting shot in schools, yeah, we're well ahead of anybody else. Even in war zones, kids don't get killed in schools like they do here.
Yeah, that's a very weird American societal issue.
That's what I'm saying.
Is it on one hand the times it's happened in another country?
Yeah, right. But how many have we had this year, you know, already where there's been a school shooting of some kind? It's excessive in areas like that. I know that for a fact. And, you know, people compare it and they go, well, by percentage and per capita. And it's interesting because even in Canada, they got plenty of guns. Now, a lot of it are different types of guns, but there are plenty of guns in Canada. And, I mean, it's not the same as it is here. I mean, we're literally, what, 4% of the world's population, and we got 42% of the guns. So it's a higher level of guns. And that is the point that an anti-gun person makes all the time, I know. But I'm not going there because I don't think it's the guns. I really think it's the mentality. I think there's something built in here that just makes us this way. And in Canada, plenty of guns and really not very many homicides with guns. Suicide rates are pretty high.
I would like to... let me just throw in one thing, though. Would you be surprised to know that in the 20s and the 30s, the amount of people that are died from gunshots is the exact same amount, number-wise, as it is now? So therefore, it actually has gone down, if you think of it in that way.
Well, maybe so, but I would think in the 20s and 30s that there were places where there were, like, no guns. You know, I'm just saying, comparatively speaking, even if we're maintaining the same level, then that's, I don't know, that's almost more horrendous in my mind, because I would think to myself that guns would be less available at that point in a lot of places, because development, you know, if it's only like 50 years...
Well, you know what they did at the time, right? Remember what they did in 35? They said, well, we got to get rid of all this crazy gun violence. We're going to get rid of automatic weapons. This will solve the problem.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And on it goes.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. I don't believe the weapons are the problem. I think there's just something in the mentality. We also have, like I said, an inordinate amount of suicides with guns, too. And again, plenty of guns in Canada, not as many gun suicides in Canada. Not even close, and not even comparatively speaking, even if you adjust for the population. You just don't have it. It's not the same thing. I don't know. There's something uniquely American about violence.
I will. I would agree with you that, yeah, absolutely. There's something. I would say it's far more in modern culture, like the last 30 years. This has developed this weird spree killing.
Well, that's the other thing is, you know, in a time when, you know, somebody might have shot their neighbors, and indeed, we've had many wars and stuff here in the United States where people have, you know, didn't require weapons even. They were, beating each other's heads in with shovels in Kentucky and stuff, you know, taking each other's land, and some of them being paid to do so by, like, tobacco companies and stuff that were trying to dominate areas. That's all part of real history in America, okay? So it doesn't matter. You got a gun, you don't. I mean, most farmers got a shotgun anyway. I mean, always did, as far as I know. Everybody's got some level of gun, but didn't matter. We just set to killing each other at profoundly higher levels, in my mind. Of course, we had that little thing called the Civil War, which was interesting and dragged on for a very long time. Anyway, all I'm saying is it just seems as though we have a higher level and a quicker temper in this country to go to violent measures. And I stand by that. I really do, because, again, comparatively speaking, and no, I'm not blaming the guns, and I'm not saying that the gun... And some people go, well, if you acknowledge that there's a higher level of violence, maybe you should remove the guns from the equation. Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to matter, because, as you said, if people are really bound and determined to get violent... You know, I mean, there's kitchen knives, there's rocks, there's bricks. People will kill each other by any means, if that's what they're desirous of doing. I'd like to see a way to try and combat this general sort of condition we find ourselves in, where violence is an answer. That, I think, would be the smartest thing to do. But, you know, again, that goes into a whole bunch of political areas, and people think you're just a wishy-washy liberal and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, your thoughts.
Well, look at the people who are, I mean, almost, as far as I know, every single person that has done this has been, almost without exception, a fatherless boy between the ages of 15 and 25. And they go straight to these schools and shoot them up. There's something very weird and wrong with all this.
Mm. Well, you know, and one could say that, yeah, that could be a factor, and that's not a bad observation, because a lot of times you're dead on. Let's think about it a little bit. I mean, the most famous shootings, yeah, I think you're right about the most famous ones. That's often the case. It is somebody who doesn't have the male role model in the home and all that. And so what do? They attack the institution that, whether people want to, you know, admit this or not, becomes like the parenting institution when parenting's not done at home. Because now your rules are set there. You're fed by that place. You're taught by that place.
Yeah, and look at the stuff that's been going on in recent years, as it turned out. It turns out that these weirdos keep wanting to talk to the kids about sex and genders and all this weird crap. And now, you know, people are like, well, why are all these school shootings going up? Well, I don't know what's going on in these schools. Maybe we need to start paying attention more to what's going on in these schools instead of worrying about guns.
Well, you know, I was also reading a thing about how the Baptist Ministers Association is now acknowledging that they let a whole bunch of, you know, abusive boys go on in the church, and we know about the Catholic Church. And, you know, it seems like these institutions, a lot of them are not meant to be trusted one way or another. You know, and when you leave the kids to be raised by everybody else except you, and I'm not saying that society doesn't have a role in influencing and, you know, molding children's minds, because if you think that's true and you think the parent has absolute control, well, then you've never been a parent, because it's just not the reality. But if you're not the primary source of it, maybe there's something to be said about that, Jimmy James. That's a distinct possibility. And, you know, you can't rely on these amorphous and ever-changing political organizations, and also organizations that have their own agendas, and often have people that sneak into them because they want to be in positions of power over little people. And that turns out to be an ugly thing, too. I mean, there's a reason why the Boy Scouts of America got sued almost out of existence, right? I mean, not because there was a problem with the organization on paper, but when you got opportunists that go, hey, you know, it would be a good place for me to go since I want to be around boys. Well, I guess I'll go to the Boy Scouts. Okay. You know, I'm just saying.
Enter David Perry.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, Civil Air Patrol, sure, it wasn't as big, but hey, he had absolute control over that little unit,
even
from what I understand.
Even the Civil, they always say, oh, he was in, Oswald was in the Civil Air Patrol. Not really. David Ferry was running his own little group there because he'd been thrown out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, you got to look at these things. I mean, and I'm not saying that there weren't decent people that were involved in this kind of thing, too. I mean, I never got...
Sure. I'm sure even if it was 90 out of 100, I mean, it's still... something's going on.
Well, right. And all I'm saying is that every time you entrust blindly, you know, these malleable, highly unformed little people in the hands of others, you got troubles. I mean, it's the way it goes. You're opening it up to all sorts of troubles. I never thought about the idea that most of these shooters, though, do seem to not have a strong core family situation with, sorry to say it, it's going to sound all kinds of sexist and whatever, but yeah, no man in the home. And I'm not saying that they don't do it, or that, you know, man in the home equals no violence. I mean, you know, again, we were talking about David Berkowitz earlier in the day, and or, you know, and that guy doesn't think he was shot by Berkowitz, by the way. But you know, but what was the first thing that happened there? You know, his father comes out and goes, hey, first of all, he was adopted, and he's not really a Jew. I mean, really, that was almost the first two statements that came out of his father, right? It was like, hey, I don't want to own him. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying people shouldn't adopt or anything. I'm just saying that even when you got somebody in the home, I mean, yeah, Ted Bundy had a little bit of an odd experience, but there was males around. you know what I mean? A lot of people that engage in some high level of violence, it doesn't mean you avoid it with a male role model, but I didn't think about the consistency that you came up with there. That's something I had not considered strongly, actually. So that's a fascinating point.
Yeah. Well, I am the analyzer.
Is that why?
I'm kind of like the equalizer, except I'm not British, kindly, and I don't help people. But other than that.
I'll analyze stuff, but don't ask me for help. That's you.
Well,
More or less. Okay. Look, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Jimmy. Believe me, I'm not. I would rather sit and listen to you, and I think I might be able to learn some stuff, I got to tell you. With the way things are going, especially. But tell you what I am going to do is probably start with Christy Aphrodite a little bit early. Not right this second, but as soon as she lets me know, we're going to start with her early. Do you want to hang on the line if that's the case, Jimmy?
I don't see much. No, because I don't want to interrupt her flow.
Oh, yeah, but it's...
I want her to be able to... Yeah.
But it's great when you're part of the flow, and when anybody's part of the flow, especially if they've got any questions or ideas that they want to put forth and discuss, it's really great. I mean, we talked about flowers the past couple of weeks, and I'm really looking forward to it, because... Uh-huh.
I do, like 2 weeks ago, she started talking about lavender. I do absolutely need to hear about that. But other than that, I don't know.
Well, why don't you say...
Other than that, I give her good, high praise. I ordered from her, and the products have helped me. The shipping was excellent. So...
Awesome.
This is Jimmy James endorsing True Essence.
Cool, mytrueessence.net. That's what you're endorsing. Did you leave a review over there?
No, I didn't even know I was supposed to do that, but now that I know that there is such a thing, I will do that.
Yeah, no, it's not like you're supposed to, but it does help if she's got testimonials and stuff like that from people that, you know, if they go there and they don't know anything, they don't listen to this show, whatever, they go there and they see, hey, this guy over here was happy with XYZ product, whatever it might be, it's always helpful. Matter of fact, I always like to look at those things myself, especially when it comes to health products, because I'm always looking for the guy who goes, look, this is not good. I'm always looking for the negative guy, and I know that there's no real negatives with any of Christy's stuff. The only thing you're going to get is, well, I didn't get out of it what I thought I was going to get out of it, and it's probably because they just didn't put together the right combination just yet. But if you look hard enough, you'll find something you're happy with at mytrueessence.net. So that's the way that works. But why don't you hang on, though, and ask about the lavender yourself? That way I won't screw anything up, and I'll get Christy up and ready. Matter of fact, it looks like I could bring her on now, which would be good. It would save me from talking anymore and trying to analyze any more news, because I don't even want to. I mean, you know, you want to hear how I was right about monkeypox? You want to hear how I was right about Subway sandwich? You want to hear about, you know, Joe Biden went to Asia and God knows what he did over there, actually? You want to hear about baby formula shortages? I mean, you want to keep going? I don't. So why don't I put you on hold, man? Your option. If you want to hang up, that's cool. But Jimmy James is with me on the line there. Maybe he'll stick around and talk to Christy. And I think what we'll do right on here is take a little break and allow you guys to call in while Christy's on the show, actually, at 319-527-5016. Because it's Tuesday night on the Ocelli Effect. And let's get an hour and a half with the lady who grows things there in Arkansas at the, I can't remember the name of the church. Anyway, she'll tell us about it. She'll tell us about what the fields do, what's happening, flower power. Maybe she'll tell me why it's so wonderful. I got thunder and lightning over my head, which is giving me a headache in Georgia. Well, we already talked about headaches last month. But anyway, stick around. The Ocelli Effect will continue with Christy Aphrodite on the other side of this break.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Support Chuck O'Chilly at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah,
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles started to really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
So that was the short break that was, and we're back. Christy Aphrodite with me. All right. My mood, man. Okay, you can join us during this conversation, and I'm going to try and breathe during it and let Christy talk. I love it when she does, because she always informs us about a whole lot of stuff, and you can get informed too by going to ChristyAphrodite.com, which you might even be at tonight and listening to the show. If you want to, you can hear it live on Tuesdays, although I bet you some of your people haven't shown up yet, Christy, because they think they got to wait till the next hour, so they'll be surprised, right? And now they'll have to go and get the podcast to hear the whole thing.
Bummer. That just means you have more work.
That's all right. Listen, I got no problem with that. I got tons of stuff I need to put up today anyway, and I only got to part of it because it just... Anyway, it is what it is. MyTrueEssence.net, there is a place where, yes, indeed, you can go and pick up products, but, you know, Christy freely informs people about these things and tells you about lots of natural soul... Oceans, which are good for you all the way around. Now, nothing is necessarily medical advice here or anything, but these are all ideas and mostly based on Christy's own direct experiences. And hey, sometimes I get in on the act too and also talk about stuff that happened. But yeah, with where my head's at tonight, I'm going to want to talk as little as possible. So... Meanwhile, we do have Jimmy James on the phone, and you can join us at 319-527-5016. That's 319-527-5016. And you can call in, ask a question, make an observation, tell us about something that you've experienced regarding, I don't know, the use of flowers, plants, dirt, right, wood, all kinds of things that are out there in the natural world, which are all useful to you in one way or another. They might be food, even if you don't think they are. They might be medicine, even if you don't think they are. And in fact, Christy will give you different information about that and even tell you about government websites that admit that there might be useful purposes for some of the stuff that you think is weeds and flowers and decorative and all that good stuff. So anyway, how you doing, Christy?
I'm awesome. And I think it's really cool that Jimmy James is here and wants to know a little more about lavender because... Well, first of all, weeds.
Yes.
I just call them slandered medicine. And as you mentioned, they are food and medicine. And there's a variety of ways we can use them, unlike, you know, I guess what's considered traditional medicine today, where you just take a pill and it's supposed to fix everything. The flower power isn't just a hippie thing, and by the way, they were right, and they wore patchouli. Why? Because it was an insect repellent, okay? Not only that, is natural antiseptic and antibacterial and antiparasitic and such, and has lovely flowers. If you've ever seen it grow fresh, that's one of the herbs I am privileged to grow here at the Ozarks Church of Nature and Magical Food Forest. Check.
That's what it is. I couldn't bring it to my head. I know I've heard it many times, and I should know it. But the Ozarks Church of Nature and Magical Herbs, is that what you said?
Well, I call it... I mean, yeah, so Ozarks Church of Nature is good enough. Okay. But to me, it's Ozarks Church of Nature and Magical Food Forest, even though they're the same thing. Okay. And it's not like a church where we repeat other man's words. We sit in silence and listen to the word of nature. In itself is very healing. So as we talked about last week, like even no matter how stressed or terrible a day is, there's certain things that just make you smile, you know, puppies, kitties, and flowers. And so The fact that Jimmy John wants to know more about lavender completely is in line with some of the mood issues that you've discussed, that you've had this week.
Let me put him on the line, but put a pin in something. You mentioned patchouli. I don't like the smell of patchouli, never did. I always hated it. But, you know, there were these occasional hippie chicks I would run to in the 70s who had a different mix. And Their mix smelled, like, sweeter. And I don't know what it was, but they told me it was, like, because they didn't like the patchouli smell either. This is my way of doing it. And I always was like, yeah, right. So you just bought it from a different store, and you don't want to smell like that. But, And even as a little kid, I was repelled myself. Maybe I'm an insect by patchouli because I just was like,
insectoids are real.
But you know, but these other girls, they had another thing that they made themselves that was made from, and I forget what it was, but it was sweeter smelling and apparently did the same job as the patchouli, according to them. So. Yeah, it was insect repellent. But anyway, stick a pin in that because Jimmy James is on the line and did want to ask about lavender, which, again, is one of the most commonly packaged, anyway, scents for aromatherapy. I mean, it's in candles and incense and all that good stuff. And there's a reason why it's marketable, but, you know, not always natural, right? But you get some scent of it. What is the purpose? How can it be found? Stuff like that, I guess. But I'll let Jimmy James ask about it because he had it in mind. And he said, yeah, a couple of weeks ago we were going to talk about lavender and then we never got there. So why not? Anyway, Jimmy, you're on the line, man.
Yep. Hello, Christy.
How's it going, Jimmy?
Everything's good here. Do I sound like Darth Vader? Do you?
No, that has cleared up since your first call. He did sound like Darth Vader when he called in at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, no Darth Vader today.
Yeah, you're good. See, Christy showed up and it's straightened out. That's what happened because
it's brought lavender.
Maybe it's because you were thinking about lavender. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy James. What was your question exactly about the lavender?
Concerning lavender, you mentioned that it has calming effects similar to alprazolam. I was wondering if I wanted to hear more about that.
Okay, so I do want to... Okay, so lavender, for people who don't really know, it is kind of an... I guess it's considered an evergreen, like an herbaceous shrub. So first of all, if you think you can't grow it, you're wrong. All you have to do is just basically not kill it, as true with everything. But it is easy to grow, and there are multiple ways that you can receive a myriad of benefits from, let's see, antispasmodic to tonic to anti-anxiety, antidepressant, calmative effects. It even has antibiotic and sedative, decongestant properties. So, and I think it's important to note all of these possibilities because we're just talking about one plant here. And probably a couple hundred medicinal uses. And since I heard you say lavender before Chuck called me, I, of course, pulled up some links that I have on my site at mytrueessence.net that go directly to PubMed.gov. So I'm going to post these, but I just want to say this report I'm reading right here, there are no, what are those words? They have no, they're what? Not being paid by anybody. Sorry, I can't come up with the word.
No problem. Yeah, it's not sponsored by anybody. It's not like, you know, the a big pharmaceutical company paid him to say it or anything
right.
like that. It's a totally independent piece of research.
Just in the first little abstract of this report that I'm going to post in your chat at ocelli.com, listen live. I'm going to read this word for word. Lavender is traditionally alleged to have a variety of therapeutic and curative properties ranging from inducing relaxation to treating parasitic infections, burns, insect bites, and spasms. There's growing evidence suggesting that lavender oil may be an effective medicament in treatment of several neurological disorders. Yeah. Several animal and human investigations suggest anxiolytic, mood stabilizer, sedative, analgesic, and anticonvulsive and neuroprotective properties for lavender. Huh. These studies raise the possibility of revival of lavender therapeutic efficacy in neurological disorders. And then, so that's just the abstract, okay? That doesn't even go in to all of the studies, the tests, and the conclusions where they have proven the neuroprotective properties, the antidepressant. In fact, there's one that compared it to lorazepam in a double-blind study, and I'm not sure where that link is, but I'll find it and I'll post that too. And multiple others, for example, here's another one that it has significant antidepressant effects. The next one, showed substantial effect in reducing anxiety and depression. So these are medical doctors and scientists doing these studies and reporting on them independently at PubMed.gov. So I'm not just a chick who likes flowers, who is just making stuff up as she goes, because I think everyone else should like flowers, right? These are actual medical mm-hmm. conditions that they have been proven to treat against. So given that, If that's not enough, I hope that's enough, at least as far as mainstream medicine is concerned. Now, ways to use lavender, for example, and this is pretty much true across the board for almost any herb, but I do want to caution everyone again, do not jump in, although lavender is generally regarded as safe, do not jump into any use of herbs or essential oils without clearing it with your doctor, pre-existing conditions, any other medications you might be on, right? So, given that, if you had a lavender plant, pretty much the only thing that you would not be able to make yourself without a still would be the essential oil. But thankfully, since lavender is so prolific, there are many types of essential oils that you can get from many different sources right now, right? So from as simple as just looking at the flower and touching it and smelling it, that has the same aromatic quality or that you would experience in aromatherapy, right, with the essential oil.
Yeah, see,
and
that was the question. Yeah, that was, well, I'm sorry, that was the big question I had, because it is commonly packaged, look, across the board, you're going to find varying levels of quality, right? So there's badly packaged lavender-type stuff out there. There's candles that simulate lavender, right, that don't use the natural oil, that use, you know, other things that are meant to simulate it. But the reason why they go out of their way to simulate this thing is because it does have that effect. And, again, just interacting with the plant causes you to pick up some of these things by aromatherapy. Like, aromatherapy to some people is seen as, that's obviously not very scientific. It's just, you know.
Except for the fact that it is, and they can confirm that on PubMed, right?
Right. Well, I was going to say that, you know, it is confirmable. So, I'm telling people, look, I'm laying out the misconception first, Christy, okay?
I'm just having fun with it. Because
that's cool.
That's my favorite, type of response. Like, well, if it worked, we would hear it about it on the news. Well, would you?
Well,
when has the news ever, like, really showed any interest in your best interest?
Well, no, and besides that, they're not sponsored by Lavender the Plant. They're sponsored by Pfizer and AstraZeneca. And so they don't need to tell you about the stuff that's made by nature. They need to tell you about the stuff that, right. So anyway, I'm just saying this is the way this goes. And obviously, if it's marketable this way and it's used, and by the way, even... ready for this one. Even your insurance companies are willing to pay for some therapies that involve lavender.
Yes.
Which
and
is...
And it's been used in hospitals along with other citrus oils and peppermint. And, it's... But, the funny thing about it is people are acting like, oh, it's new, they're just finding out. But the fact remains, this was medicine for, I don't know, how long have we been here? Right. I mean, they found... allegedly vats of essential oils in Egyptian tombs.
No, absolutely.
That were completely preserved and,
right. Which were meant, as in some cases, depending on who you talk to, some Egyptologists say that they were trying to take it into the afterlife. We do have another caller, by the way, which I have no idea what he wants to ask about. But I do want to finish on this lavender issue really quickly.
Yeah, and aromatherapy.
And aromatherapy in general, because the thing is that even when you have an injury and you're doing, massage therapy, again, was one of those things that for a long time people said was no good, and now it's generally accepted. But it works in conjunction with that, because, again, think about the effects that Christy was talking about regarding the use of something like, they create lorazepam, they create... these different sedatives, Klonopin and Xanax and stuff, they create it, and it is useful. It is useful, but it's not good for you because of the way it's made. Now, the way that nature makes it, might be a little less harmful. I'm just saying, not saying, throw away your medication or anything. I'm just saying to you that maybe you could.
Yeah, Mother Nature is a little more gentle and... used with respect never causes organ damage or death.
Right.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, look, if you excessively consume anything, you can cause yourself problems, by the way. Just about.
Absolutely. But including water. Right.
Including water. There is a condition by which you can oversaturate yourself with water, which is a weird condition, but it has happened. But anyway.
So, and I don't know if we can have too many flowers, right?
Not at all.
And when we're taking nature with respect to its whole form, the way nature, which, by the way, we are, was created, then, of course, a whole plant is going to work with your... The plant is a system. We're right. a system.
Right.
And, yeah, we're the same, but we might look a little different, but we operate the same. We have the same receptors. They have the chemicals and volatile compounds and alkaloids and flavonoids and all of these things we need that aren't getting. And so I really would love to encourage people to take the more gentle approach, because you literally can pamper yourself while healing by, say, having lavender tea and a lavender bath and a lavender diffuser or a lavender cream pie with your lavender lemonade. And you know what I mean? And your lavender salve and your lavender enfleurage and your lavender tincture and your lavender vinegar and your lavender infusions and your lavender compresses. You know, that's just one plant that you can do all of that with and more.
Matter of fact.
And still get your medicine. So if we follow or subscribe to the father of modern medicine, Hippocrates, you know, let the food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. If we were making things like lavender lemonade or lavender tea or putting, you know, lavender flowers in our bread or whatever, then we would be eating our medicine.
Well,
right?
even as I talked about last week with the old Italian ladies there with the vinegar, and lavender is something you can put in the vinegar, by the way.
Vinegar is a medicine all in itself, right?
Yes.
And then you can use it as a toner or use it as your hair, not just in your salad or
right
or bug bites or rashes or dermatitis or the uses literally are endless. It's also a bug repellent. It doesn't really kill bugs unless you actually get the oil like on them. But it does repel most bugs. Mm-hmm. And it just has a nice, pleasant smell. But as far as aromatherapy, I want to say the reason it works scientifically is because our sense of scent is, number one, it's like 10,000 times stronger than our sense of sight or sound. And it's directly connected to our limbic system, which means it affects our hypothalamus and our pituitary gland, right? Mm-hmm. Which release hormones into the body and, you know, help cause appropriate response. So when you're using aromatherapy for things such as lavender, first of all, the essential oil is basically like the soul of the plant. Okay.
Yep.
And the reason, one of the reasons, I mean, when it is connected to your limbic system, and as I mentioned, hypothalamus, there's also what your emotional and memory storehouse center, basically part of your brain.
Well, that's
so
why
it triggers that.
Yeah.
So it can help bring good feelings, positive feelings, instant relaxation feelings, or like you love vanilla. Is it because it's comforting, because every time you went to grandma's house as a child, or whatever it is, it's triggering that in our brain,
right?
Factually. And so that in itself helps us get that kind of, elicit that type of response. Now, the difference, you can get that from a flower, and you can even get that same somewhat sense of calming with a fragrance oil or a fake diluted oil, right?
Right.
But you wouldn't want to use that medicinally or any otherwise. But that sense of scent that we have automatically brings positive or negative feelings, right? Bleach and gas versus lavender and rose,
And that's another thing, too, is that, like, if you just acquire the plant, let's just say, okay, you don't have the land to plant stuff or whatever, but you acquire a plant like that and you can try and, you know, keep it nearby, you know, mostly indoors even. I guess it's a little tough to keep lavender indoors, but...
No, you can. If you can raise anything anywhere if you give it the right conditions, right?
Right. Well, even interacting
and
with...
And lavender does like to get cold, though, so they wouldn't make a good... Like, if you have a nice 75-degree living room year-round, that right. wouldn't be the place for it.
No, fair enough, but my point is that if you're taking care of that plant, just the act of taking care of that plant will have a medicinal value.
Absolutely.
So,
and they've even proven again in science
right.
that people who got their hands in the dirt and played with plants were healthier. Dirt yeah. therapy, it's an actual thing proven scientifically.
There you go.
So it's not just because we like dirt in our fingernails and we have nothing better to do.
Well, hey, look, but, you know, then again, that might work for some people, too. All right, so...
I hope. I wish. But you know what? The people that have nothing better to do, I don't see them out in the garden. They're sitting in the recliner with the remote.
Well, or with their phone or whatever. Anyway, Jimmy James, do you have any other questions about this, or did Christy address it for you?
No, that was great.
There you go.
Exactly what I wanted, more information.
All right. So you definitely got some. Is there anything else you want to ask? Because I do have another caller, and he's been hanging on there for a little bit. So want to get to him and see what it is he wants to talk about. But if you got something else, I mean, by all means, go ahead.
No, that's all I have. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Oh,
you're welcome.
It,
thank you. And always good to hear from you.
And Jimmy, seriously, like, if there's one of the, I know you're the kind of guy who would like to just, you know, go ahead and get something and have it in front of you. I don't think it would be a bad idea if you had a lavender plant where you're at. And I know it's not always warm there. So, I mean, you know, if it's one of those things that you can afford in your budget, I mean, at this point, unless I'm going to eat it directly, I can't afford it. But if you can, I'm thinking it might be just a cool thing to have around, and it'll have benefits just if you take care of it and keep it alive. So, you know.
Right. Plants are pretty pricey these days. I got to say, if you're considering growing plants, like, do it now, because the prices are just, they've more than doubled just since last year.
Right.
And I do have two lavender essential oils in my apothecary at mytrueessence.net. And the regular lavender is only $7. And then I have Bulgarian lavender, and I think that's $16. But, you know, yeah, so...
I got you. But
they last a while.
But that's
especially
not...
if you're just in hay. Oh, it's 15. I lied. I just had to look it up here.
15, no problem. But either way, that's not actually out of line. And I know that people charge a lot more for lower quality stuff than
right.
that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not saying that, look, Christie's stuff is not bargain basement, but it is not the price gouging ridiculous universe that you encounter with a lot of other people that really do not take care of things well and probably couldn't even tell you about what's in the packages in a lot of places.
And I also I have a lavender infused oil. So you can use that directly on your skin or anywhere, and that's 2 ounces, and that's only $14. So
isn't lavender now, I might be out of line here, but isn't lavender also a component in your Pain Be Gone?
Lavender is not in Pain Be Gone, but it's in most of my popular skincare, like Heavenly Heal All, Sweet Day's Ease, Clearum Serum. And I use Bulgarian lavender. That's my favorite. It's the finest. I use the lesser quality that's more, say, eucalyptus-y smelling I use that more for like sprays or not my medicinal stuff. I'll just say that because I've really, it's been a passion of mine to find all of these studies and figure out which I can put together to remove skin cancer in less than 30 days. Or,
okay,
you know, what's that one thing that it just erased from somebody recently? Oh, I always forget. There's pictures on the site, but that was erased in 3 days. So, I can't remember the name right now.
It wouldn't be like a melanoma,
you know,
or something.
I think it's
like
fun for me. Yeah. Like, people love to research, and I love to research this and then make things that do the so-called impossible based on the information that the people who said it was impossible gave me, right?
Well, a couple of people in the chat room are saying that they need to get lavender plants now. So, you know, I think that's a good
Great.
Thing. Meanwhile, we also have another caller, so I'm going to put him on the line and see what he wants to ask about or discuss here. You know, open forum, by the way, if you want to join us and talk about natural stuff, plants, flowers, especially this kind of thing, glad to hear from you at 319-527-5016. But we got somebody else on the line. So how you doing, man?
Hey, how are you?
All right. So what's on your mind? You got a specific thing you want to ask about, or an observation, or what?
Well, yeah. If I hear any more about lavender, I might need a cigarette.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, oh, by the way, you can smoke lavender as well. So I left that
now
out of all of the ways you can use it.
wait a minute now. I didn't know you could smoke it. That's news to me.
You can smoke lavender. You can smoke mint.
Well, I know you can smoke mint.
So many
Mr. Rogers did an episode about it. I remember.
I don't. You're funny. I don't like smoking
Someone
mint.
Someone listens.
But, but
I don't know my letters.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, no, I didn't know you could smoke it. What is the effect of smoking it? I mean, is it does it have? Well, I guess as an analgesic in the lungs, if you have difficulty, I guess that could be medicinal
right.
that way. Okay, that makes sense. Now, I mean, I'm putting it together as you're telling me. all right, cool. Anyway, all right, I get it now. So anyway, no, I didn't know you could smoke it, but anyhow, so now that you've had your break and you've enjoyed the interaction with lavender.
With John lavender. B. Wells.
That ought to be. You know what? I've never heard of a stripper named Lavender, but I definitely believe there are strippers named Lavender, even though I've never heard it myself. So anyway,
there has to be.
There
Come
has
on.
To be.
There, like yeah. Lavender Rose. There just has to be.
Yeah, they can't all be Amber.
I in high school.
They can't all be named Amber and stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, come on, you got to have some diversity. Lavender, why not? All right. So
Jasmine.
Anyway. Oh, lots of those. Jasmine.
Shaniqua.
You know, their real names are like Betty and, you know, Lisa and stuff. But, you know, welcome to the stage, Jasmine. All right. Anyways, all the herbs. Okay, so enough of my sidetracking and nonsense. What do you got on your mind outside of the lavender?
Well, before I got all hot and bothered with the lavender, I was just curious if anyone knew why in the H are mozzarella sticks so gosh darn expensive? It's fried cheese. And where did the McPizza go? That's pretty much it.
Really? Okay, well, what about dairy, Christy?
Why don't we fry up some dandelion or zucchini blossoms instead?
I do like stuff like zucchini.
I like the way you think.
Yeah, I do enjoy some zucchini and eggplant and stuff. Do you grow eggplant there, by the way, at the...
I actually, that's one thing I don't, because I'm just not a fan.
You're not a fan of eggplant?
Everybody always asks me,
eggplant
I'm
Parmesan
just not
is
a
awesome.
Fan.
Eggplant.
Oh, okay.
I can just eat eggplant. Look, I'm
How do you
all
eat
about
it?
The farm.
Educate me. Maybe I'll grow a plant in your honor.
Well, how do I eat it? You can eat it all different ways. You slice it thin. You can use it almost as bread if you dry it. First of all, secondly,
I know eggplant parmesan.
Well, yeah, eggplant parmesan.
But that's all
typical.
I really know.
Well, you know, you also can do a rollatini. You can put stuff, all kinds of different things. Like if you make a bit of a paste out of anything, pretty much you can roll it together and cook it that way. Just bake it. That's not a problem. Eggplant is, I like to fry some eggplant myself. I know, you know, fried food, yeah, not supposed to be good, but I'll just eat fried eggplant all day.
I should just stop being awesome. So curmudgeon-y. I just figure if I have to work this hard, I'm just going to grow the things I love the most and know how to preserve. But you know what? You got my juices flowing. And so I'm going to grow an eggplant this year in your honor.
Well, you know what I've
and
seen?
I'll make a bunch of recipes that are going to make you super jealous and send you the pictures and torture you.
Cool. I'll tell you what else. I've seen
sound
it.
Sound like a plan.
Yes. I've seen it jarred, you know, like where people say they can, but they do it in the, you know, the mason jars. And yeah, I've seen it jarred with peppers. Okay. And, you know, some peppers and vinegar and stuff. And you can just take that and heat it up and throw it on top of whatever or just eat it.
It just sounds so gross. It just does not sound delicious. But fried or, like, used in place of, like, a portobello mushroom or meat or something,
well,
you know,
you ever,
fried. That okay. probably That's probably going to be the only way I'm going to eat it.
Have you
honestly.
Ever fried zucchini, though? Like, you know...
I like... So I grow exotic... So rampaconte is what I grow, and it's okay. like a zucchini. Oh my god!
Is that the white ones?
Heavenly. So Italians, Chuck, you should know this. Use it in place of anything that calls for pumpkin. So it has a way better texture than zucchini, and like. I didn't grow any zucchini last year, and I haven't started any this year just because I really only end up using it for bread or like side vegetables. Like I became zucchini casseroled out in my first years of gardening.
But you can make cookies out of
but
that.
But the rampaconte, it's you use it the same as you would zucchini, but it's
it's fleshy, tasty.
It's not like okay. zucchini. What we know in America is not zucchini. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
because
that's
everybody,
why I don't grow it.
Well, everybody always sees just the green and the yellow, but the white ones you can make cookies out of. Okay, and there's
right.
and there's
really?
Some other purple one. Yeah, cookies. They're actually very good. A little bit of
do tell, please, please. I can't wrap my brain around that. Please.
No, you can. You can make cookies out. You can actually combine it. You know how people make carrot cake? So you combine the kind of zucchini she, but it's not really zucchini, like she said. I mean, it's not the stuff that you're accustomed
right,
to calling zucchini. It's
so,
a squash, right? It's in the squash okay. family, but it's like a squash. You take it, you combine it with carrot, and yes, indeed, you use some other things to sweeten it, but it makes a really interesting cookie.
I'll just say all of my breads and sweet treats or pot things like that all come with my squashes, and there are so many incredible varieties from Seminole pumpkins to Iran to even bitter melons, which have been banned. I'll just say like the food growing here is much different than the things we became accustomed to in the grocery store. You know, that's like the bottom of the barrel, been hybridized to mass-produced crap, and yeah, so I like squashes. I'm just not a fan of zucchini.
Okay, well, look, but see, I like all the kind of, and that's the thing, though, is you can use eggplant the same as a squash,
really?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's just.
Are
look,
you telling me I'm going to be making eggplant bread here in a minute?
You could. You could don't.
That sounds so gross.
You don't use. Yeah, but it's not. You, look.
I'm just going to have to play with it.
Okay, it's a bit. I advise some salt on it, okay? Especially that that red salt, you know? I definitely advise the like the Himalayan type salt.
I use Himalayan, Celtic, and red. What's that called? The red one. Yeah. And then sometimes when I'm feeling like all luxurious and stuff, then I'll use like the Hawaiian black Aaliyah, you know, salt. But yeah,
I've never gotten a chance to use that. I've never used it at all. I've used the pink stuff, the red stuff.
If we could even find it anymore these days.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I haven't seen it.
You can't find it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years.
Things are much different now than they used to. But I'll tell you what, one of the greatest stores I've ever been in, besides the HEB outside of Austin, which is like a city in itself, there's one outside of Marietta, Georgia, that I can't think of the name. It's kind of close-ish to the city square, and that has like every exotic food from everywhere in the world imaginable.
You told me about this place, and I have yet to get there, but I gotta get there because
I'll tell you what, 10 years ago they were carrying $37 a pound cheeses. Like, they had stuff that, I mean, I'd hate to see what they are now, but they, I'm sure they would have it if we could remember the name of that.
Well, you know, that's another thing, though, is what about cheese? Because you notice my friend here brings up all kinds of stuff that involves cheese, which, by the way, nothing wrong with some eggplant and some cheese, and you don't necessarily need to use the tomato sauce. But if you make your own tomato sauce and you don't, you know, boil it to death, all right, you just actually,
dude,
you know. Yeah.
I just made lasagna with all of my the last of last season's tomatoes that I didn't process, because like at the end of the season you don't get enough to can or make a batch, so it might be 5 today, right, 10 tomorrow, 3 the next day.
Right.
So I just throw them all in a bag in the freezer until I have enough or start craving them again. So that was this week, and the lasagna I literally just pulled out of the oven before I came up here.
There you go. But there's nothing wrong. Again, you know, just like you do in the lasagna, if you slice eggplant really thin, long ways, you can do lasagna with just the eggplant if you prep it. And I would definitely suggest that you have a decent olive oil with it, all right, which will get you the texture you want, and it'll make it a lot more malleable. And then you bake it back to a little bit, you know, a little bit of consistency, and you've got, you know, something that's a little better, especially because most people are just going to buy box noodles, right? Yeah.
Watch my little snippet on Twitter from today about boxed noodles and why I am never, ever, ever, ever going to do it again.
Yeah, well, I understand, but I'm just saying most people are going to pick up box noodles. They're not going to make their own. If you're going to go to the trouble of making a noodle, I would, for lasagna, the same design, basically, but you got to do a little bit of treatment on it. You don't just put raw eggplant on it. You put some olive oil on it. You let it sort of marinate a little bit. You
just
get it
like
on there like
if
that.
If you were using zucchini or something else.
Yes.
Yeah, spaghetti squash.
Same thing. Yeah. Right, right. And you can use it as a lasagna noodle and make your layers. I'm just saying, it's a way to go.
I'm going to try it, if only then just to prove you wrong that eggplant is shitty.
Wow. All right.
See, like, other people, when they're challenged, are like, nope, nope. And I'm like, I'm going to prove you wrong. Okay. And then watch, we'll be talking 5 months from now, and I'm going to be like, that was the greatest suggestion ever, Chuck.
Well,
thank you. I love eggplant, and I've decided to become an eggplant producer.
Well, listen, if you don't like it, that's okay anyway, because I do, and I know it's got, it, again, as you well know, it's got plenty of decent qualities to it. Okay.
Yeah. I'll plant 2 seeds and see what happens.
Although I will say this again, just like with anything, you got to consider it. Even your food, you know, you think, well, I can eat whatever I want as long as I'm not allergic. Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, if you've got a lot of like bowel damage, don't eat the eggplant. Okay, because there's a lot of seeds involved. And that's not good for, what do they call that, colitis, I guess. But a lot of people have different bowel issues where, you know what, tomatoes are not good for them either because it's a highly seeded.
Cucumber, strawberries,
right.
Raspberries.
Right.
Yeah.
Which are all, you know, contained.
Onions is good for that tract, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But a lot of stuff because of its the nature of the fruit. And don't forget, tomatoes are fruit, by the way. Because
but in that case, that's where you can, like...
Yeah, and it's acidic, too.
Well, it's acidic, yeah, but that's why I use a little sugar. You cut the acid with a little sugar. That's
no, but I mean, in terms of, like, killing any kind of bacteria, kind of like with the onion...
Oh, yeah. No, but onions are... See, onions, another thing, underrated. People think it's there for flavor. You know, you get accustomed to it. Nah, there's actually all kinds of great uses for it. I'll tell you something else.
I love onions.
Weirdest thing is onions can be used as an air filter. All right.
And every, like, even if you buy onions from the store, like, you can literally, within less than a year's time, make it to where you never have to buy onions again. Because if you just cut off that bottom part and literally just stick it in the dirt, it doesn't even matter if it's clay or anything, and then you're going to have 3 to 5 onions from there. And then every onion you pick, just put the bottom in, and they're going to just keep reproducing. I'll tell you, that's how I started all my onions and garlic here.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, garlic does...
You couldn't buy seeds, you couldn't buy anything. And so I went, you know, I bought the best produce I could and stuck it in the ground. And I just have onions and garlic and things like that growing year-round and reproducing more and more.
Right. And you know what? You can see in the garlic a lot of times, even if you buy it from a store and it's not even the greatest stuff, it still contains the system. And the system with garlic, I mean, onions are just, you know, they just multiply on their own almost. But garlic does it too. And you know how you can see it is you ever get a piece of garlic, you cut it, and there's like this bit of green in there that's just starting to emerge, even though it's a white piece of garlic. That is the garlic plant starting to sprout again. They'll continue to sprout.
And so each little clove is going to give you a bulb.
Can literally produce another bulb. If you just, you know, if you took the whole bulb and you split it apart and you used each clove with the little green line in it, okay, and just planted those, and you take care of it a little bit, not even a lot. It's not high maintenance. You'll grow your own. It's just that simple. So I'm not saying just, you know, go to the food store to get your seeds, but I'm saying you can go to the food store and get some seeds.
Absolutely. I just posted a video from like a year ago where I was already never have, and I've only lived here 2 years, you know.
Right.
So yeah. That was last year, which looks way different than it does right now at this time, but yeah, you literally just, it'll, see, that's the thing about nature. People think, oh, I don't have a green thumb, I don't grow anything. And the truth is, you're not, it's growing itself, because that's what nature wants to do, to reproduce, to multiply, to keep growing, to always keep reaching for the sky, unlike humans, right? Our, their decrepit counterparts.
Right.
Where, so, all we have to do is give it space and give it thanks. And don't go out of your way to kill it. That's it.
That's pretty much it. Listen, some things, if only relationships were that easy, just try not to kill it. It'll be okay. if kids were that easy. All right, anyway, moving forward. Like I said, if the directions were as simple as just try not to kill it, it'd be wonderful. Anyhow, it just doesn't work
that
way.
And, you know, just so you know,
yes.
I mean, I've planted hundreds of things, and I've killed a few things, right? So we learn by doing, and we learn what we're, you know, we don't, sitting inside reading books about it all the time until we feel like an expert before we get started, that's not going to teach us anything, and then, you know, it's the experience. So did this place not get enough light? Like in the beginning, so I got here in spring and the sun and the shade was a little bit different than it was in the dead of summer, right? So I didn't, and technically when you move into a place, you should really give it like a year, you know, all the seasons so you see. And I knew that some things wouldn't do well in some places, but we're going to find out as we go. So now beginning my third year, you know, after 2 full years, I know where the different light or the different soil or what I can just stick in the ground and walk away and not have to give it any care. Whereas in this process, I've killed a lot, you know?
Well, but even the stuff you kill, by the way, as long as you didn't kill it with, you know, some chemical or something, it's perfectly useful for what? Giving nutrient to something else. See, that's the wonder of the continuous cycle, is that, you know, even the thing that didn't quite make it, it might lead to the next thing that makes it.
Right.
You know, I've seen a weird stuff happen where somebody And this is a funny thing. I want you to address this, actually, because I watched somebody try to intentionally plant certain things, right? Totally killed the plants they were trying to make, but they took compost based on the advice I gave them about different natural things that they could pick out of, you know, the stuff that you're not going to eat, right? You know, you don't like the stem of that? Great, put it in the compost pile. You put your eggshells in there. You're not going to eat eggshells. Most people are not going to eat eggshells, right? So, you know, put that in your compost. So what this guy ends up doing is he ends up with a row of all kinds of crap that he put in his compost. And none of the stuff he tried to plant, right? And he's like,
well, everything in the compost thing grew, right?
Yeah, well, see, but that was the thing. Is I told him, well, look, see, you still got food out of it, though, didn't you? And, well, yeah, but not the food I wanted. I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, maybe if you play with it and you do it a little.
Wasn't it?
Well, but look, it's interesting. By the next year, though, he had all kinds of stuff. It was like, I didn't plant peppers. Yeah, but you did, because you put
stuff...
And that's
why I garden the way I do.
Yeah.
Whereas I let Mother Nature take the lead. Like, I learned long ago that nature doesn't grow in rows. And when I first started gardening and trying to, you know, ask the experts the right thing to do or whatever, I did everything wrong. And I would, if a lettuce planted itself in the pumpkin patch, I would move it. Like, I would, you know, just dumb stuff like that, because I thought the lettuce is supposed to be here and that's supposed to be there. So now I have more of a wild, hands-off approach where 90% of everything that's coming up right now, which is hundreds of things, planted themselves. And I say that because... Like, I did initial seed scattering where I mixed a bunch of seeds and tossed them and let the birds or the wind or the rainfall or whatever take them where nature says they'll grow best. And I truly believe in that. Right. And I always let one thing go to seed or more. And then I just started throwing them along the fence lines or scattering them wherever. And so there's literally food and herbs and things.
Oh, Christy, did we lose you? Uh-oh, did I lose my connection? I think I'm still connected.
Did you?
No, I'm good.
Oh, crap. Did I go away?
You went away for a second there, yeah.
I must have hit the keyboard.
You're gonna be before anybody
so
else.
Sorry.
Sorry. Okay. Well, look. You know what? If you want to, we could take a break. But I like this this discussion here because it is it's unique, and you can come up with some interesting things when you do the more.
Yeah, that was a total accident. I was talking to myself, I guess, because I was getting kind of into it.
I'm sorry. you must have decided to mute for some weird reason. But if you wanted to take a break, we could. But we don't have to. Thing is, okay, so we'll just keep running. So let me just tell you a little bit more about this guy's wild garden of mixed stuff that came up, because all of a sudden he had things that were like, I don't know, cross-pollinating in ways that nobody would tell you to cross-pollinate, like peppers picking up flavors from other plants and stuff like this. It was like, you know, so he had like hot peppers growing right next to a sweet pepper that oddly... had like now I know this is going to sound really kind of nasty, but if you tasted it, you'd say, I would think it's nasty, but it's not. Like, imagine a pepper with a pumpkin flavor. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't know how that happened.
That's how they make different strains of weed, right? Like blueberry or pineapple you know.
But that's the thing.
And I have chives growing next to my mint, so my chives are kind of minty.
Yeah.
I love it.
But that's what I'm saying is that you can come up with combinations that you won't be able to get anywhere else that'll be naturally occurring. And like I said, this guy ended up with hot peppers, sweet pepper, pumpkin pepper, all kinds of weird peppers, because for some reason, that was the thing that turned up. And there were
cherry peppers.
Yeah, no, I don't think he got cherry peppers out of it, but he got a bunch of weird stuff, and even just some standard, like, you know, green bell sort of peppers, but he was really happy with the way they were. It just took him about a year to get happy about it, because it killed all the stuff that he was supposed to be planting. And I said, well, you know, depending on the seeds you got, probably the natural properties took over, and just decided this is the kind of soil we're in, so this is what's going to be, you know, coming out. And there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. I'm not saying don't plant in rows, but maybe don't plant in rows because you're going to come up with different things. So what are your thoughts on that, Christy?
Well,
not planting rows?
No, no, not rows. Like, you can plant roses anywhere. Oh, I'm saying in rows.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because my friend mentioned last week when I was interrupted because in my own mind, because I see pictures for the words, that, yeah, that totally threw me for a loop. So it just happened again.
Okay, it's okay.
Yeah, so all we have to do is look to nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we want to keep trying to act like we're smarter and keep trying to do things our way, we're going to probably keep ending up with the deficiencies that we're already complaining about, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of have a surrender to nature policy, and if I don't know what the right thing is, I ask her.
Right.
But it doesn't stop me from trying, especially when I first got here and my mode was just plant, plant, plant. And so I just did.
Mm-hmm.
And most everything has worked, and you learn a lot on the way, but companion planting, I have found, and that's something that you don't get in the rows, is, right, because you have all of one crop, and monocrop conditions can lead to drastic situations, right? Because if you have a bug that's going to take out, you know, your spinach, and that's all you have planted there, well, guess what? You're going to lose all your spinach. So you want to learn companion planting and what other plants will, say, give the nutrients that the other is taking away.
Right.
Or help fight off the natural predators or pests, right? So, yeah, I'm a big fan of, I don't even know if there's a name for it, but I just call it my wild gardening method.
Fair
and
enough.
Letting nature do its thing and planting aromatics with, chances are, if it has an aroma, it's going to be a bug repellent. Chances are, right? Mm-hmm. Especially all of the herbs that we spent a lot of time talking about. And, I mean, including lavender, mint, patchouli, sage, thyme, garlic even, right? So I like to plant that on the edges of my beds so there might be an appearance of a somewhat row, not rose.
although I will caution people about one thing, and that is mint. But before you get into your question or your comment, dude, I want to caution people about mint. Because it will grow everywhere. Like, I would not try to encourage tons and tons of it because it'll take over spots in huge ways, and you may end up with a ton of mint.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you have nothing else growing but mint, why not?
Like, no, that's fine.
What's the harm of it taking over a stupid grassy lawn?
Oh, no, no. Take over a lawn, fine. But what I'm saying is,
and then
if you
got, keep bugs away, right?
Yeah.
Like, all sorts of bugs.
But if you've got an allotment and you're trying to say, look, I want to grow a few different things in this little spot, I would be careful with mint.
Right, you
because,
don't want to do that, for
yeah.
sure. Like, without putting, like, probably 18 inches down some type of barrier. But, yeah, if you're in a limited garden space, it's better to keep it in its own pot.
Yeah, because the reason why I bring it up is because I made that mistake. just having mint.
I have it growing everywhere, Chuck, and I've taken little pieces out and stuck them under the skirts of other trees because
right.
I just want more herbs growing everywhere instead of grass that will also help repel the pests that want to eat the trees. And
Well, I understand that. It's just if you're working with like a 20 by 20, though, I wouldn't intentionally put mint in as a primary thing. That's all I'm saying.
And your strawberries will take that up pretty quick, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's another good point. strawberries are another thing that will grow like crazy and really with zero effort. Strawberry, you know, in order to harvest them properly, you got to do it at exactly the right time and all that, but the growth, not an issue. And mint is something that grows effortlessly in many climates, so I would suggest that's not something you primarily, because, you know, they give you these little herb garden things, you know, herb garden starter kits, which I don't object to them. I mean, I know they're probably like awful to you. But I don't object to the idea that you go get...
anything that gets people gardening and building the confidence they need to go put something... I'm all for it.
But eventually you stick those little things into the ground and you say, okay, now I'm going to have an herb garden on the ground. Yeah, that's great, but the mint will, like, just proliferate everywhere. Like I said, I found that out the hard way.
Well, then you have mint tea for life, mint tincture. Your mint tincture will be like your food extract, right? You could also use it as a mouthwash.
No, listen, great stuff. But, you know, if your goal is to have more than one thing to harvest, I just would not put mint at the top of the list. That's all.
Right. Don't put it in a vegetable bed anything else, really. Right.
Put it in your neighbor's yard.
Well, yeah, if you want to have fun, you can do that, and you probably did them a favor, but just saying. Okay, so anyway, is there anything else you want to add, Chris, or you know, are we...
I get off the phone. No, I just wanted to tell Christy when she was talking about Mother Nature, it's funny because I'm in the middle of writing two horror screenplays, and one's like an environmental horror about Mother Nature, called Bleeding Green, and it's like an anthology with a couple of little tales like Creepshow was. So when you were talking all about Mother Nature, that just came to mind, and the tagline for the poster hopefully would be Nature's a Real Mother. And that's about it.
Nice. As corny as it is,
have a great night.
As corny as it is, that part in Creepshow where Stephen King is actually in it and he winds up becoming a plant.
Yeah, Jordy Morrill or whatever, and with the shotgun.
Jordy Farrell, you lughead. Yeah, exactly.
Jordy Farrell, that's right.
I love that. And eventually he becomes the plant monster and he blows his head off. But, you know, nature takes things back, though, doesn't it? And whether you like it or not. Life finds a way. Exactly, Chris. Anyway, thanks for calling in. And anybody else can do that, too. 319-527-5016. I put Chris on hold. Who knows? Maybe we'll bring him back in. But if not, the lines are all open. I mean, I can take up to, 100 callers at once, and I never got there. So we haven't tested the system. But anyway.
100.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So what's the most you've ever had here?
I think at one time there was, it's a 7. It's either, we took 27 callers in one night, and all on the line at once, I think there was 17 at a certain point. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was the best. I mean, I know it's a real impressive numbers, Chuck. I know, but I don't give a crap. And I'll tell you what, most people that tell you about their big numbers and all the people they have listening and calling and downloads, and you know what, they're lying. Anyways, it's just I can say that with absolute confidence. Hardly anybody really knows how many listeners they have, and most of these people that tell you about their massive, you know, whatevers are, it's not even. Anyway, I never inflate my numbers. I tell most people, actually, I can't even take an accurate count of half of what you're asking, which is the truth, because unless you pay to have, like, tracking stuff built into your podcasts and stuff, you don't know. So anyway, all right, sidebar, forget it.
Right.
Moving on, back to nature. Mint, it's one of those things that I saw accidentally happen. It was hilarious because... I thought the mint plants were dead and just, you know, kind of like gave them to the dirt, and truthfully, as I did, and I do this, I speak as I do things like this. I know this is very pagan of me and all, but you know, it's like I you know, give this back to the earth because it has died. So there, it should be in the earth and it should live again. Well, I said that as I cast dead mint into a dirt area that was not that big, and I expected nothing to grow because it wasn't very good soil, and this stuff just started popping up everywhere. I mean, everywhere there was mint. And it didn't
maybe,
take long.
Maybe it wanted you to tap into its natural antiviral and antimicrobial and anti-tumor properties, or
right.
Maybe it was suggesting you might need a few more antioxidants.
Oh, yeah.
Or...
no, even yeah, true. Yeah, but I'm just saying, it was one of those odd things that just completely. I didn't even plant it, Christy. I just let me give this to the dirt, and it'll do what it'll do, and it did. So anyway, that was just one thing that happened, and I thought the stuff was totally dead. By the way, it had been contaminated. Somebody had intentionally ruined it as it was sitting on our porch, supposed to be growing, you know, a little thing by itself, like. And yeah, and
oh yeah, it'll jump out. Like, I've had some pop up like in the grass area, and I'm like, that's cool, I'd rather mow that than, you know, anything else.
No,
it's not like I could harvest everything I have planted anymore.
No, and it's good that it goes back and it cycles, and it you know, makes the soil actually pick up some nutrients and some properties.
Oh, it makes a great compost,
yeah.
Too. So if you do have an overabundance, just, you know, chop it up, mix it in. And that's the same, you know, even with weeds, right? We've talked about some of their beneficial properties and nutrients,
right.
And minerals. Like, if you're unhappy with a weed in your yard or garden, just pull it and compost it. Like, you know, there's, I guess, a method called, like, chop and drop, and I'm not well researched on it. It's just somebody told me that, oh, you must be doing that. And I'm like, I'm just doing what's natural. But if I'm not going to harvest a weed as medicine or food, then I will just pull it and literally drop it right there and let it, you know, give all that nutrition back to the soil that it pulled up to the top of the soil for our benefit to begin with.
Right. Right. And the you know, that's another odd thing too, is that some people have problems with the critters, and as you mentioned, certain plants will emerge to deal with that actually. But I gotta say, there are circumstances where I've seen somebody try to make a garden, and really all they've done is feed the animals. And well, you know, eventually the animals will pass it back to the earth as well. But they may not plant it in the areas you want it, is all. So
right.
There's something to consider there.
And that's the problem with limited space, right?
Yeah.
So,
you know, limited space is the issue, really, when you're having troubles like that. It brings me to another thing, since we've been on gardening and all that. And this is where, okay, it gets a little strange, because not everybody can grow nuts. But nuts are also very, very useful. And in some places, yeah, the squirrels come along and eat them if you try to, you know, grow nuts in different places. I know that I've seen people try to, have some of the trees that, you know, do produce different types of nuts. And that's a little bit of a different level. That's not just the plants. When you got the trees and the way that they drop and they reseed themselves and all that. And the only thing I can say about the reason why I'm bringing it up is because somebody mentioned it in a Skype comment that I can't make much sense of. But they are asking about nuts and trees. And I'm saying, well, yeah, you plant these things along with, if you're creating something out of nothing, you put them in there with your plants. They work together, okay? But I don't know much about nuts and how to cultivate them in any way, shape, or form. So what about that? Do you have nuts there at the Ozark, I can't remember it again. Anyway.
Church of Nature. So you're saying Church you want some of these nuts?
Okay. Possibly. How about that? There you go. I took a nut shot from Christy Aphrodite. All right. Go ahead.
So I have planted almond trees, but I will say this, back in the day, which wasn't that long ago, but when we used to be able to get feed that wasn't tainted or moldy or whatever, you used to be able to just throw out squirrel feed and it would plant a peanut tree, right? And the only time I have had nuts on a property I've lived, they were older, mature trees that the only maintenance required was to pick these nuts up.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
So in my forest, I believe I have found a young walnut and a young pecan, because they do grow wild here. But other than that, I don't have any advice or tips for growing nuts. I think, you know, when my almonds grow up and if those trees out in the forest that I've identified as potentially black walnut and pecan really are, then I'm definitely going to take a young shoot from them and move them up into the food forest.
Fair enough. Okay.
I do have hickory nuts, and I have there's another nut I forgot, and I just let the squirrels eat those because it's like on the perimeter of my food forest, so that prevents them from coming in and decimating the peaches and pears and everything else, and it's actually worked. And I think kind of a cool, I don't know, old folklore, but it's not really, it's actually true. When they produce more nuts, like the wild nuts, especially wild nut trees like hickories, acorns, things like that,
right,
it means you're going to have a harsh winter. So, you know, nature naturally provides what's needed for all of the surrounding animals.
Right, and it's kind of
neat.
Which
I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's kind of neat in the southeast here. It's the only place I've ever seen with the, you know, the pecan trees, you know, actually producing and dropping them on the ground. And, yeah, they provide the feed for the critters. The little critters, they'll definitely go and eat that without a problem, even if they're, and some of them will climb up the trees and go get them, too. But either way, it does provide a food source that'll keep them away from maybe your other stuff.
Right, at least some of, right? And we, you know, as we talked about, I think maybe last week, we have to plan on giving 30% back to Mother Nature.
To begin with.
So the more diversity you have, then the more protection you have for your more sacred items, right?
Right.
Like, for example, my first season here, I had one cat and that very old peach tree, but it had a gazillion baby peaches on it. And I didn't get one single peach because I was completely overrun with squirrels. There was no biodiversity or anything here. That was the only food source. Well, now I have a gazillion cats and have cultivated everything else everywhere else. So, and the cats act as a deterrent, right? And so does cat urine, right? And people buy urine in the store, so you can use your own damn urine. And my first season before I got the fence up, that's exactly what I did. I made an invisible fence with urine, my own and the cat urine, from the litter. I didn't, like, collect it from him. You know what I mean?
Right. But,
and that's why I used the pine litter, because it just turned to sawdust. And so I could literally just make an invisible fence, a perimeter that actually worked. There was not one single deer that broke that barrier that year.
Well, and we talked about, you know, how to pronounce it again, diatomaceous earth. If you were to add along, you know, like a parallel line with that on your borders, that's something that would stop a lot of the bugs from crawling through the grass, wouldn't it?
Well, yes and no. It depends on where you live.
Okay.
Because in wet climates like you and I live in, Chuck, the DE is probably, if you put it on like in high noon when it's nice and dry, by the evening or for sure by morning, there's going to be dew and moisture, and then it's going to deactivate. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to enrich your soil, but as far as killing bugs, it's not going to last as long as we're in a drier climate, a desert climate. And I use DE, right? But it just doesn't, it's something that you're going to have to use repeatedly.
Okay.
However, when I do like see that first little trail of ants trying to come up like my walk or whatever, I sprinkle DE and they're done. And on dry days and in the summer when there is hardly any moisture and no rain for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, that's a great time for it to be effective against bugs. But also, yeah, so
cool. Well,
and I just want to say with DE, I have made this mistake multiple times, and it's just because haste makes waste, basically. But DE, while it's powerful for your garden, your body, and your pets, it can cause harm if you inhale it, like in large dust clouds,
right.
which I have done. So just be careful and mindful. But if you get food grade, it's safe for you, your pets. It'll, you know, it may even replace worm treatments and things like that, right?
Yeah.
So, and since we're discussing that, because that's a popular thing right now, this time of year, and everybody's animals, and if you put that in their water or their wet pet food or something, most of the time, that's all they need to get in their system and poop out their worms or whatever. In fact, it completely revived a goat that was literally going to be cold. Okay, so there's that. And if for some reason that doesn't take care of the problem, then a couple drops of wormwood tincture, because most likely they won't drink the tea.
Well, I'll tell you something that for some animals, not all of them, but I've used and has worked, is shredded carrots, believe it or not, has gotten rid of some of the worms too.
On what animals?
On small dogs.
Oh yeah, I know. Dogs do like carrots oftentimes,
yeah.
And I trust that when they do want them is when they need them.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, but if you take them and you like make the little, you know, like what could we call that? Like, you know what? Like grated cheese, but instead of cheese, carrots. Right.
Right.
You mix that in with their food. And it seems to have a flushing effect that has been effective, you know, not in a severe case where, you know, they're really messed up with them, but if they've got, like, the early, you know, early, there's just some worms coming through. Yeah.
I can totally see that.
Yeah, you can knock
them
out with that.
You mentioned, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I used to make my dog food, I would use my carrot juice pulp. Right. Mm-hmm. And I would also sometimes add beets, or, you know, I would, if I was juicing like a carrot, apple, ginger, lemon or something, I would juice the carrots first, or the carrot, apple, or the carrot and beets first. And then I mixed that pulp in the food that I made for them by boiling bones, you know, meat off the bones until the bones like literally disintegrate in your hands. And so they got like everything, and whipped it all up with my extra carrot juice pulp. So Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because people also want to know what to do with their pulp, right? What do I do with all that waste? Yeah, there's compost, but you can make cookies and feed your dogs or bunnies or chickens or goats or, you know.
No, definitely. Look, you can find a way to respectfully use everything, which is always something that I found fascinating with, well, you know, today we call them Native Americans, right? Is that they always had that respect for whatever it was they harvested in that way. And I know a lot of people go, well, you know, I don't want to eat meat and this and that. But even in using the meat properly and disposing of what is left that you can't eat, you know, pieces of bone and whatever else, it's not like every time jewelry was made of it. Some of that stuff and blood and et cetera, well, you know, that also nourishes soil.
Right. And I'll just say, if we did have to raise and harvest and clean our own meat, we would be eating a lot less, and it naturally would be more mindful, right?
True.
So I kind of long for a society like that. And I did my vegan thing and vegetarian thing and all of that. And at this point in my life, I am just a strictly clean local food person. So most of my diet is, I'm not into labels, but it would definitely be labeled vegetarian. But if my neighbor has like a nice clean meat or something for me, I'm going to respect that and turn that into the best dish ever. And even if I only eat meat twice a year or whatever, like, I'm not going to shun it and say, oh, I don't eat meat. And I'll eat all of it, you know, or the fat. If there's bones, it gets turned into either food or bone meal for the garden. But now that I have more animals, it's a lot easier to feed, like, the whole everything. The bones, the guts.
Right, you know? Oh, no, no, look. There are uses for a lot of this stuff. That again, you know, I think, yes, if we had to be very conservative about the use of these things and be mindful of not having a but that's another thing that screws people up,
proper,
you know.
Respectful, mindful use.
Yes.
Is, you know, and you mentioned Native Americans, plus they would plant their food with a fish, a dead fish, or a fish carcass, or whatever. And like Three Sisters Gardening is, you know, one of the most popular, I guess, today methods known by the Native Americans, or basically corn, squash, and beans, and they all fertilize and protect and grow up one another, right? And yeah, so
you
could learn a lot by going back to the so-called old ways that got us here to begin with, in times where everybody didn't need 72 jabs to, you know, be considered healthy, even though they're on 24 different pills.
Well, there was that, and you know, and there wasn't that much of a need for a garbage man either, because there wasn't much garbage, you see. Everything.
I don't have garbage here, Chuck.
Right. That's my point.
I mean, I could, you know, they do have trucks that come out here, and there isn't, but I don't have it because, again, all my food is most of my food is local, right? Mm-hmm. I go and buy like Parmesan cheese, okay, or things like that occasionally. Or pasta noodles, right, as you brought up earlier, occasionally, because people love my lasagna. I mean, that's like, I got people dropping logs in my yard wanting me just to pay them in lasagna, where they get, you know what I'm saying? So
nothing wrong with that.
But every single time I buy those damn pasta noodles, there's bugs in them. And I go through extreme effort to make sure I don't have bugs here, of course, with flower power, which works. But yeah, I just, like, I am less likely to, I don't really buy a lot of food in the store. And some people are like, oh, well, how do you do that? I mean, honestly, I just do without. I don't have those types of addictions and needs. And even if I did, and I'll just say this, when I did, I used knowledge and anger to guide me away from it. And I say that because once you find out who's producing this stuff and what's in it, like, my conscience could no longer pay for my own illness, right, and pay for my own mind control and pay for, like, how could I complain about what's going on when I'm paying them,
to make you and anybody else sick? Yeah.
To keep producing it, right?
Well,
so,
and this brings me to, the thing I want to actually close on, because believe it or not, we went through like a whole hour and a half. And
again,
it flies right by. And this is going to seem like it's not related, but I think it's a logical thing to talk about, given what you just said and a couple of things that came up. And it's one of the things I've always got problems with because I can't make it myself. All right. Cheese. I really love cheese. And even you said, I go buy Parmesan cheese.
I do.
Now,
I want some, you know, a couple times a year, I make a big ass hotel pan size of lasagna.
Right. But the thing is, look, cheese is one of those things that, you know, even when people try and talk me into vegan, like, I could almost go there for a little while. I could let go of being a carrion eater, which, by the way, you're not a carnivore if you eat meat that's frozen and somebody else killed. You're not a carnivore. You're a carrion eater. Look it up. Okay?
Well,
and I accept that.
You're just a dude that hires a hitman to go kill it for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, a carnivore kills and eats. Kills and eats directly. No middleman.
That's what everybody else in the wild does, right? We're the only domesticated animals that... Even your domesticated animals are still in touch with their instincts that if you let them go, they're going to kill and eat something.
That's why they'll kill a bird, a mouse. I get it. But the thing is that you're not doing that if you're eating a steak from, you know, Kroger's, okay?
Right. You're just feeding your desires.
Yeah.
Without the work and effort.
Well, without the work, without the effort, and you're not designed any longer, because this is not something that happened overnight. You're not designed any longer to do that. You don't have claws. Okay? You're not going to take down an animal. I mean, and, you know, I get the idea of hunting. I'm not against it necessarily, but it's not something that I want to do exactly. All right, but I could let go of meat. I really can. But I don't know. Cheese? Cheese is one of those things that, unfortunately, is often loaded with a whole bunch of crap. You are now paying not only the farmer, but you're also paying the guy who provides them with the hormones to pump up the cows, to overproduce the milk, to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay?
Right.
So, cheese. It kind of sucks because very, very expensive if you're to get, you know, natural cheese. Okay,
hey,
real.
I'm going to let you in on a secret.
Go ahead.
I'm not a perfect person, and I'm not going to tell you to never eat cheese. And I buy Rocky Road ice cream sometimes, cool, and I'll eat the whole half of a half-gallon container in one sitting when I want.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool enough.
So, you know what? The way I look at it right now.
Yeah.
Is I'm grateful to even be able to go to a store and purchase anything. And so I'm grateful, and I consciously will eat that Rocky Road, you know, once in a while. It's definitely not a daily habit, and it is fun. And this brand has lots of nuts, Bluebell, baby. It's delicious. But with cheese, you know, just like we talked earlier, too much water isn't a good thing.
Right, right.
So, and if you know, goat cheese, of course, if you can find a good source, is a good thing. And I can actually give some tips on how to find a source, because there are so many more sources than we know. In fact, I was just gifted a gallon of goat milk with cream on top, and I was like, what? You mean it has cream? And holy cow, the taste. And, you know, it's more like human milk, of course, than cow's milk. And, you know, but, okay, so how can you find a local-ish supply? Go to farm stands farmers markets, feed stores, hardware, like tractor supply stores.
Okay.
And they always have like a bulletin board, right, where people are trying to sell their animals. And sometimes they'll, but not all, they won't have the milk listed because in some places, you know, that's frowned upon.
Well, there's legislature. Yeah, like
goats,
for instance, really
right?
quickly.
If they're a goat farm,
yeah.
get their number and say, hey.
Well, here's
right?
the thing. Like, they're just putting something in the Georgia State House now to try and release some of these problems with the raw milk here, right? But as you said, even though they might not list it, and sometimes they have the things on the bulletin board where you can buy part of a cow, too. That's another thing. Where,
right.
you know, like cows are an expensive animal.
Which is less and less these days. In fact, I talked to someone in South Carolina. It was like $1,500 for just a share.
Mm-hmm.
But there are places like, you know, it is possible. But yeah, so if it's not listed, but you see they're advertising their cows or their goats,
right.
get their number.
Right. Because, in the meantime, while they're raising said cows and goats, you might be able to make an arrangement, which doesn't necessarily have to appear on anybody's books. But
I'll tell you what, most of these people yeah. have so much that they would be happy to find someone who wants it.
Right.
But they can't go advertise. And like I said, the right. person who gifted me, like I was astonished when I was at their place and like they opened up the fridge and there was just like gallons of it. And you know, I mean, yeah, people, I guarantee if there's a goat farmer, there's a bunch of milk.
There's a bunch of milk. Or even again with the cow, even though some people, because goat milk is a little different, as you said. But again, there is a way to do it. But it does take some effort. And again, it takes some effort, it takes some respect, it takes a little bit of interaction, and, you know, that's the way life is. So, you might be able to make an arrangement to get completely clean, you know, cheese, milk, etc., even
yeah.
if it's not something that is, you know, offered in the local store.
Right, and
yeah.
if you're in a city, it doesn't even matter what city you're in. I'm telling you, within 20 minutes... you know, outside mm-hmm. of that little metropolis, there's goats, there's chickens, there's cows, there's people that are just hoping for the outlet to, because they don't have the time to turn it into more cheese or buy more equipment to store it properly or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like even me with what I have going on here, like that's why I haven't taken on milking my goats yet, because I just can't take another daily responsibility. And what would I do? Again, I'm not only just one person doing it, I'm one person consuming it. What the hell am I, how am I just going to live off of milk or cheese? You know what I mean? So yeah, there are people that are doing it and it's springtime. They have more and more goats and more milk and they're like, mm-hmm. holy cow, what do I do?
Right, so there it is. There is always something naturally going on not far from you, even if they try and keep it away. And of course, in larger cities, it may be that you got to travel through that city to begin with and all that good stuff. But even in smaller cities, as you said, within, I would say, 30 minutes from the outermost edge of that city is something like it. Now, do you have the time to go do it? Well, how badly do you want the clean food? Again, look, I'm not perfect at all. When it comes to cheese and stuff, a lot of the stuff that I buy, well, you know, it's, well, I gotta be economical when I even have money to go food shopping, right?
It's insane lately, Chuck.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so grateful that I got away from all those habits and I can utilize flowers and weeds and, you know, I'm not hungry, but I don't like, I mean, even just trying to buy an avocado, you're lucky to, if you can get one, $5 a piece. And you know what? I like my avocados and they go perfect with my salsa and my potato tacos. So, I do it, you know, in the summer if I can find them, and I'm grateful that I can do it, but I can't even imagine how anyone can rely on a store right now and afford it. It's shocking, really.
Right.
I'm blown away every time I go how much more not even buying complete meals are costing.
Right. Well, look,
I just buy supplemental stuff. Like I said, a little bit of cheese here, sometimes some tortillas, some ice cream here and there.
I got you. We've gone slightly over time, and the weird thing is, I've actually got somebody who might want to join in via Skype. Do you want to take a couple extra minutes and see if they want to ask?
I totally can, but we need a 90-second break.
90-second break. Okay, so here's what we're going to do if you're still listening and you wanted to join in on the Skype there, which, by the way, I'm Charles Dottocelli on Skype. Easier if you call in, but that's okay. I'll join you via Skype after we take a quick break, and we'll continue on with, let me just change the outro
All
here.
Right.
We'll continue on with Christy Aphrodite a little past our time tonight. We'll be back in a few. Stick around.
History, real history, that you were never taught in schools.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War,
by author Mike Swanson.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
So a supplementary couple of minutes here on the Ocelli Effect here on a Tuesday night. And as per usual, timing always perfect. Bob Wilson messaging me at 5 minutes until the end of the show saying, can you join me via Skype? So I asked Christy if that's what she wanted to do. She said, let's take a break and we'll do it. So here we are going a bit overtime again on a Tuesday. But discussing all these things, I think, is very important. The idea that, you know, nature does have an order to it and does prevail and causes.
And you did say you wanted some of D's nuts, so I figured I would oblige.
I did get into that. We talked about how I took a nut shot from Christy as we discussed pecans, peanuts, and other, well, what was it, black walnuts? Yeah, a couple of things. Of course, there's no black walnuts here. I don't tan. I'm not Tucker Carlson. But it is what it is, and of course I'm making jokes and all that. And we talked about cheese. I thought I was going to end there. Nuts and cheese. Okay. Anyway,
who remembers the government cheese?
Oh, I remember it. quite a bit. That was one of the greatest gifts that Reagan ever gave anybody. And you know what? Where I lived, we got butter too, baby. Anyway, big, huge blocks of butter, along with that massive, I think it was like a 5-pound, like, log slash block of cheese that you had to wait online for at the community center and all that. Anyway, yeah, well, another part of my life. So, no government cheese here this hour. And like I said, Bob Wilson has joined us, and don't know what it is he wants to discuss in the natural world of, you know, I don't know, living with nature and all that kind of good stuff. And your food is your medicine is your food. And no medical advice here, but suggestions about how it is you could find much cleaner things to put in your body outside of what it is they sell you in plastic packages in buildings that are also not so natural either. Anyways, is what it is. Bob, what did you want to add in here to this discussion?
Well, at this time of year, a lot of people have problems with their allergies. So I know that you can take a lot of allergy medicine, but are there natural things that you can use that actually might help?
Oh, I love that. There are so many things. In fact, okay, first off, disclaimer, do not take any of this as medical advice. If you choose to take what I say and learn more about it, do not attempt any herbal practices or supplementation without first talking to your doctor.
Right. And my addendum, as always, is that even the most natural and helpful things in the world might interact with other things that you're already putting in your body, whether they be natural or otherwise.
Steroids, other medications and such. Like, but
yeah, like garlic, as we've discussed several times, garlic could be harmful to you if you're on a certain medication, even though it's a wonderful, absolutely beautiful thing in nature. You know, it doesn't interact with certain medications, and even grapefruit juice, as we've discussed, could literally kill somebody if they're on the wrong medication. So you always, even with natural things, must be careful about your own individual conditions, because we are all actually individuals, and depending on what it is you're already putting in your body, you must be careful. So that is that's the whole disclaimer, right, Larry Christie?
I think that's pretty complete. Okay. For sure.
There we go.
So okay. So that being said, there are many common things, including things that we believe cause allergies, like goldenrod and ragweed, that have natural antihistamine, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory properties that can be used as anti-allergy. Also, things like you just mentioned, garlic, right? Or horseradish, or even wasabi. I'm pretty sure we've talked about mullein here before.
Right.
Rosemary, stinging nettle, and even things like onions. We brought up onions earlier, apples, pineapples, because of the chemicals they contain. So also different essential oils, including peppermint, including lavender, including eucalyptus. Let's see, I mentioned rosemary. Okay,
and eucalyptus. These are all, you know what, I'm going to press you a little. These are all great general things to note, but there are specific issues that people come up with. Like, for instance, I used to have a lot of different allergies, and nowadays I'm just highly allergic to cats. But and you've said to me that there's a way to deal with that. But anyway, we'll put that aside.
So some people have specific problems. When people come to my house and they say they have a cat allergy, I put one drop of peppermint oil in a shot glass of water, and then they drink that. And depending on their age or whatever, that ceremonial smoke blend that has like mullein, lavender, sage, wormwood, mugwort, they take a hit of that, and that's it. A couple times, I've used like a hiker's peak oil, which is basically all of those oils I mentioned already, and they put a couple drops like on their nasal passages. And it's never taken more than that, and their so-called cat allergies are gone in seconds, literally, as long as it takes to inhale and drink that shot glass.
Well, let's go for a more common thing that I bet is part of Bob's equation here. And that is, look, some of us live in areas where pollen becomes like a highly, profoundly voluminous thing quickly. Some of us don't handle it so well. You know what I mean?
When you're really, that's where the poison is the cure, right?
Okay.
Like in traditional homeopathy. Okay, so if you're allergic to ragweed, or think you are because that's the pollen that's going on in that season, right? I would actually urge you to go touch the ragweed, pick some ragweed, and make a tea of it.
Huh. Well, now, see, some people might say, well, that sounds crazy, Christy, because...
Isn't that what we do with vaccines in modern medicine, right? Well, so it's not just homeopathy in the drops of water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, some people would say it sounds crazy because it's like, look, I'm already choking on the ragweed, so now you want me to drink it. What is this going to do to me? I mean, what is the...
People think it's crazy that smoking... Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say you better give another disclaimer before someone drinks the tea and then they collapse or something.
Right. And, you know, some people think, you know, it's crazy that you can smoke to heal your lungs or your parasympathetic nervous system. Or, you know, we've been taught all sorts of crazy things, but we're not really going to learn true crazy until we step out of that box and give Mother Nature a chance, man. Before technology, before modern medicine, before all this, how did our ancestors survive? How has everyone in the wild survived all this time? How do people in jungles, in parts of the world that we don't even know exist, survive? They don't even have running water or kitchen sinks or cups or silverware. They use bamboo and, you know, drink water off of leaves and boil rocks for minerals, right? Like, there's something more intelligent and more crazy that we are capable of than we've been led to believe. Well, and every single thing around us is food or medicine.
Well,
hey,
here's...
We're food and medicine.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like...
So here's... But here's the thing to consider, right? Okay. Now, like I said, Bob is probably exactly thinking that this is the kind of thing that would make him even more ill if he did it, right? And that could indeed be true because we're all individuals. Now, he has the allergy to say, I mean, what is your specific allergic problem, Bob? Do you know exactly what it is?
I'm guessing it's pollen because I was sneezing today.
All right.
It's
well,
high pollen when I look on the news.
If it was pollen, okay, it could be just a suggestion here. And Christy, you go ahead and correct me. But it could be that what you have is a reaction based on something else that you're already putting in your system. Whether you know it or not...
Absolutely. It could even be laundry soap. It could be whatever you washed your hands with at the grocery store. It could be, you know, also, and yes, it could be pollen. And if it is pollen, that just basically means that you are not getting enough antioxidants. The same with sunburn, okay? So there are lots of foods that are high in antioxidants that are natural antihistamines, right? That will... So all allergies really honestly mean at the core is that we're not getting the nutrition we need. So it's going to stimulate the overproduction of whatever, you know, in this case, histamines. So if you incorporated things, and provided that you're not allergic or have any other contraindications, everything I mentioned all of those are considered safe. And then things like if you added ginger, like fresh ginger in your diet, or even, again, peppermint, because Chuck loves peppermint so much, lemon balm, licorice even, berries, eat more berries, especially now. It's the season. Everybody's got berries on the corner. You know what I mean?
Right.
Turmeric. Think, like, if you incorporated that into your diet, and even without switching to some perfect diet, right? Like, you can make your good old favorite standby comfort foods healthier just by the addition of some of these ingredients. And some of these ingredients, like turmeric, have like no flavor at all. So you could literally sneak it in your scrambled eggs and not even know that it's there, right? And make it fun. Put some peppermint in your lemonade or, you know.
No, I got you, but each one of these things, as we discussed in an earlier episode, should be done with personal evaluation, okay, first. Because you have to first determine what's going in and what is the issue, really. Because it could be that you have a reaction which is not based on the standard idea of that reaction. As you said, a lacking of another nutrient could be causing it because now you are reactive. Based
right.
on the
and
fact
maybe
that you have
you
a deficiency.
Went to a business who just got their carpets clean. I always have a reaction, and I could tell when I walk in and my nose starts to itch, and I'll say, "Have you had your carpets clean recently?" You know, and so there's diagnose the situation thoroughly, where it's coming from, and then okay, so obviously the foods and things like that are going to be something you want to incorporate. However, just simply eating a clove of garlic, provided you're not on blood thinners or any other medication that it can interact with, even a clove a day, my grandma used to say, keeps the doctor away.
So there you go. I don't know if you have any other specifics you want to discuss here, but I mean, we are going to close out pretty soon.
So if you had essential oils.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, this is true. You're going to think Bob's joking, but it's a little of both. But this actually happened. Someone who calls into the show that I'm familiar with just sent me a text by happenstance before I knew what we'd be discussing. And they wrote to me and said, I think my legs are swelling again, and it's hard to breathe. So I was looking for advice to give. This only came in about 10 minutes ago. So what should I tell them that they might be able to do while they're at home tonight if their legs are swelling?
Okay, first
again,
of all,
yeah.
Tell
this
them.
Is true, by the way.
Well, that type of problem, really quickly, that type of problem, we don't know all of the circumstances, and I would not.
Right. So I would say tell him to call in right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would say, because anything I tell you, you're going to either forget or it's like, you know, through the grapevine, and you won't remember everything. And we don't know his condition. So if I gave you a specific suggestion of an herb, it could kill him, right? So, just say call in now, and I'll be happy to help.
What's the call-in number, Chuck? I'll put it in my text to him.
Yeah, 319-527-5016.
5016. Okay, that's sent. So if they check their messenger, they'll get some free, not medical advice, but homeopathy that we put out with a disclaimer.
And so I just want to finish up in the allergies. Again, I don't know about your specific situation, but any of those things, herbs I mentioned, like rosemary, or you could make a tea with, or you could simply like sniff a plant, right? Rub it in your fingers and sniff your fingers, or put a sprig in your ear, or put it in your mashed potatoes or your chicken or whatever you're making for dinner. Or the same with lavender or any of those other herbs we talked about, right? So whether you use them through aromatherapy or inhalation method, right, with an essential oil, you'll get the same-ish effect by drinking the tea or working with a plant directly.
And here's the other thing. If that person wants to call in, I'll take this off air Because you know what, might have to ask some personal questions.
If they call in.
What's that?
Well, it could be helpful for other people, and then I don't have to repeat myself.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think maybe getting personal circumstances about exactly what's going on.
We don't know who they are. Nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, I get that. It's just that I tend to think that if people know it's private, they're willing to discuss things a little easier. Depending, because, you know, when you've got lower limbs swelling up, there's a variety of things that could be going on.
He's dedicating his life to science, just like I am, and so we're going to help other people in the process.
Fair enough.
But we could ask. But who knows? He might not even call. Like, maybe,
fair enough.
You know.
Well, we put it out there, and they're usually on their messenger, so if they get the message and we're still going, I think they will call in.
All right, fair enough. I just had to deal with my smallest puppy getting beat up by the other one, so I had to grab her while we were talking. I got Bonnie on my lap. Anyways, yeah.
Oh, and then with the ginger, you could also make a ginger with that. I mean, a tea with that too, or you could even make like a ginger paste with, say, even turmeric, and you could put milk in it or water. And then you could rub that directly on your nasal passages or even headaches. So there's multiple remedies, but I don't know your personal situation, so I don't know if any of these would apply, provided there weren't any allergies, medications, pre-existing conditions, and that in fact it was pollen, then those things should help. But really, also eating local honey, okay? Local raw honey, because then you'll be, again, like a vaccine, you'll be, or homeopathy, you'll be ingesting little bits of that pollen, which will help protect your body from reacting and producing too many histamines upon its first encounter, right?
Right. So, look, I just want to say that, yeah, we do
have... I believe the person has called in.
Yeah, I'm handling that, Bob. Hang on, because we do have the guy on the line, okay, Christy? So the first thing I want to give that person an option to do is if they want to take this off air so that not everybody hears it. We could always talk about it later, all that good stuff. Of course, leave it to my friends to extend the show, but here we go. I'm willing to do this and have this discussion, but again, if personal details need to be discussed and they don't feel comfortable doing that, totally their option. I'll leave everybody connected so they can still get assistance here, especially if there's an emergent issue, which again, everybody's issues are different. So here is our caller, and I'm willing to bet this is the individual that... Oh, wait a minute. Now he just hung up. Ha!
It looks like there are four of us.
Yeah, well, yeah, it looks like there are four of us on the Skype. That's not the thing that's connected. He was on the phone line, and then he hung up as I was bringing him to air. So, all righty. Anyways, what do you want to do, Christy?
I have another question, unless they call back.
Go ahead.
Suppose you like to drink diet soda and you're trying to switch over to water, but water has no taste. As you're switching from one to the other, what can you do?
I would make herbal teas, and if you need to add raw local honey and even some like ginger and lemon or key lime or something like that to jazz it up, that's what I would do. What are those mushroom, you know, those drinks that have the fermentation mushrooms and the bubbles? What's that called?
Mushrooms and bubbles.
The fermented... why can't I think of the name of it? Somebody help me out.
The seltzers?
No, it's... We used to have it on tap at a place I worked.
Oh, I don't know. I know you can make tea out of mushrooms, but I don't know which specific thing you're talking about.
It's a fermented beverage that you could take the mother and make your own. Kombucha. Thank you so much, Phase Shifter, in the chat. Okay, kombucha. Yeah. So kombucha has a little of the zippiness and the bubbles, the fizziness you might be craving. Also, you can get your own fizzy maker thing, right? Canister. And I don't think they're that expensive if you really felt you needed the bubbles. But chances are, if you're getting enough flavor and, again, giving your body the nutrients that it needs, you're going to naturally crave different things. And another thing that helped me get off my diet soda addiction was, again, knowledge and anger, the knowledge of what was in it and who I was supporting and what it was doing to my body. Mm. And you know what I'm saying? I don't think I have to mention that the CIA created fast food and all soda companies and Pepsi and its 50,000 subsidiaries and being the world's sixth largest military. And the, you know what I'm saying? So maybe you could also use that to help with your addiction, but I don't know your allergies or what flavors or things you like, but I like pungent things like mints and lemongrass and lemon balm and even like fennel or
well, you know,
whatever, things like that. So, well, minty, and I don't actually need honey or lemon or anything like that, but if you do, feel free boiling the ginger root before you make your tea. And if you make like a gallon at a time and you always have it on hand, then that urge to just grab a can of something, you're going to have something better there already for you in the refrigerator.
Fair enough.
And I can either give you a simple tutorial on making a proper medicinal tea right now or give you a video if you want to further research that.
Sure. Yeah, I would say go ahead and put a video in the chat. Another just quick suggestion, something to look into is, since you brought up mushrooms, is chaga tea, which is a particular type of mushroom. You dry it out, and then you can actually make a tea out of it. You add a little bit of mint to it. It does not taste like, you know, Lipton, but it definitely has a flavor to it and various medicinal qualities, which, by the way, are anti-inflammatory and also... well, there's a variety of things with chaga. Chaga mushrooms in particular are extremely useful. And again, something that does naturally occur. But you got to know which ones are. You got to know a good source to get them from so that you handle it right. That's also something to consider, is if you know the source of where you're getting something, you can control the results a lot better because you know how it was handled, or you're able to actually shake hands with the person who harvested it, et cetera, et cetera. You might know how it's been stored. All that good stuff is all helpful along the way. So with that in mind, Christy, I got to kind of close things out here. So I'm going
to. Yeah, and I just want to say, if you want me to make you like a nice flavorful tea or something that's other than on my website, I could totally do that. Because I used to have that habit and it just caused me strokes and worrying, you know, diapers at 23 years old, pissing my pants and
before you embraced natural things, you were, you know, maybe a little misguided, like most people. I mean,
I just, like, as we all do, we do the best with what we know at the time. Right. And I tried very hard to be a good, perfect citizen and do what I was told, and I was reading medical books at 16 years old, thinking I'm going to be a doctor, but I was on drug after drug after drug after drug, and I didn't realize until later that everything I learned as a nutrition major in school was a total lie. And I'm grateful, you know, because how would I know? I'm not somebody who's on here that's telling you what I read in a book. Right. I've experienced all of this firsthand, and if I don't know, I'm not going to talk about it. Like with the nut thing, I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
Or the mushroom thing, I don't know. I don't know that. I have personal firsthand experience in healing myself from every single dis-ease that has been brought up on this show.
Right.
Okay? So including addiction. All right. So yeah, my children were feeding and clothing me. I was in a wheelchair. I lost my memory. I didn't know my own damn name or how to walk and talk, and got to learn all that again.
But again, continued knowledge through mytrueessence.net, and there's also lots of products over there, and ChristyAphrodite.com, various videos you put out about all this stuff over the years. All of that is inclusive. And for our friend who tried to call in, you also have an email address if they'd like to contact you directly. And you're always willing to help somebody out who might need some guidance privately as well, right? So what email address would that be to contact you?
Christy Aphrodite, or just through the contact form at mytrueessence.net.
Fair enough.
That's because that'll go to that, and then you don't have to worry about misspelling anything.
Oh, okay. So use the
mytrueessence.net and click on the contact form. Yeah, and look through it, though. You know, I don't have as many blogs on there as I do the ChristyAphrodite.com. Just mean because I'm a one-man show, you know what I mean? And
no, I got you, but lots of good stuff at both websites. Once again, mytrueessence, all one word, .net. mytrueessence.net is you go find the contact form there, and the email will go directly to Christy. Or you can also explore ChristyAphrodite.com, and I urge you to do both and to continue to learn and learn what's best for you as an individual, and embrace the natural things as opposed to seeking the artificial solution. Anyways,
flower power.
And it's been a weird night, but hey, here we go, and we concluded on that note. Hopefully you learned something, and hopefully you'll continue learning. I am Merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to Christy for taking this time, and we'll see you again tomorrow.